Hello, my name's Jamie Sutherland and welcome to Phenomenal Woman, where we share with you the success journeys of women who have been there and done that. From the good, the bad, the ugly and everything in between, this is real talk by real women. We'll share with you the highs and lows of that journey so you can navigate same with honesty, integrity, confidence and a smile. This week I am joined with by Karine Phillip, who is currently employed as Regional Legal and Regulatory Advisor for DigiCells, bit of a mouthful there. She's a qualified attorney at law and also holds an LLM in telecommunications and IT law from the University of Strathclyde. Karine is an avid fan of all things related to fitness, motorsports and a lover of animals. So welcome, Karine. Thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Janice.
Hi. Nice. No problem. So that was a very short intro about yourself. I'm sure you have lots more to tell us about your beginnings and where you come from.
Oh dear. I'm Trini. Come from Trinidad. I'm from deep south Trinidad. We're actually closer to Venezuela than we are to Port of Spain.
Okay.
It's a part of Trinidad where like there's a lot of like Spanish influence. So a lot of people there speak Spanish. Even the ones who speak English, we speak differently.
Right, okay.
Than from Port of Spain.
Yes.
So the communities are small, it's very rural. People are warm, everybody knows each other. You might know everybody's related.
Yes.
So that's where I'm from. That's where my parents still live.
Okay.
But even then, I mean, the opportunities there, like for education and careers, are very slim.
Right.
You either work as a refinery, not the refinery, the oil fields are down there.
Yes, yes.
So you're
yes.
either on the oil field or you're a fisherman.
Okay.
Or, you know.
Fisherwoman.
The career opportunities were slim.
Okay.
Like things like going to school, secondary school. If you want to go to the better schools, you have to go out, far out. Of the community. So like early o'clock, my parents recognized that.
Right.
You know, they sort of push you out. They try to push you out of the community.
Okay.
You know, you have to go to school in San Fernando, which is the nearest city. You know, and then eventually, like career-wise, it was almost inevitable that I had to move to Port of Spain.
Right. Right.
You know, if you want a good job, you have to go to town to get it.
Yes, 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 so, yes. So what impact was that on your career choice? Because as you said, you're in a smaller village, more rural village. Yeah. For you to have it's telecommunications, it's law. What impact was that on your career choice?
I didn't really, you know, make a conscious decision about what I wanted to do as a career.
Okay.
When I was a teenager, I was heavily involved in sports.
Right.
I was a national cyclist. And my father was, you know, he was real regimented about my, you know, my education. He had me on a daily timetable.
Okay.
So you get up at 4 o'clock and you study. And by 6 a.m. I was in school.
Right.
And, you know, at 4 o'clock he would pick me up. Then I'd go on train. And he always used to tell me one of the things, you know, like, he used to drill into my head, and maybe this might sound a little harsh, but it would.
Yeah.
He said, I am only going to see you up to secondary school.
Right.
If you want to go to university, you have to figure it out. You either get a scholarship. Yes. If you don't get a scholarship, you go to work and send yourself. But I am only taking you up to secondary school. So sometimes, you know, I hear these parents and they're talking about they need to put aside for their children for university.
Yeah.
My father never had that stress.
Yeah.
You know, up to secondary school and you do the rest. So for me, it was either I got an academic scholarship or a sports scholarship.
Right.
The academic scholarships they gave in Trinidad at the time, they gave it like to the children who placed the first 10 at A-levels in the country. And they send you, you know, you go to university and the bill was the government's. But the sports scholarship, my options were to go to Switzerland.
Right, okay.
On a half scholarship. So you go to like a cycling camp kind of thing.
Yes.
And they cover half the cost, but either your government or your parents cover the other half. So it just so happened. I mean, when your father telling you these things throughout secondary school, that he is only prepared, you had better,
you better
have a plan for yourself.
Okay.
So, and it just so happened that my plan went the academic route, and I got placed third in the island that year.
Okay.
And I got a scholarship. I did languages at A levels.
Right.
I can do medicine, and I couldn't do nothing science-y and numbers-y.
Yeah.
So law was the best option. So it's just like, okay, I'll do it. Not having a plan. I didn't really want to be no lawyer. But I had to do something.
Yeah.
I just picked it and I went with the flow.
Yeah. So you've stuck with that. You've stuck with the law theme. So as much as you said it's what something you just did, yeah. What has made you stay in the field?
Because I've been able to do so many things with it.
Yeah.
When I came out of law school, I had to, because of this scholarship, I had to give back.
Right.
So I had to work with the state for a while.
Yeah.
And I was in social services.
Right. Okay.
So I was the attorney for all the you know, children at risk, abandoned children being abused by parents. And then I went off to legal aid, where the focus wasn't so much on children, but on maybe adults who are at risk.
Right.
So my clients were abused women, you know, poor, dirt poor people.
Yeah,
because you have to be dirt poor to get legal aid.
Right.
So my background was in social services, and then I stepped out of that, and I got into telecoms.
Okay.
So it allows you to do so many things. You don't necessarily have to be a straight-laced lawyer. You could do so many things with
So what's been the most satisfying challenge you've had to overcome throughout the career then? Because you said it's been very diverse. Even though it's been in law, it's had a wide span. And people forget that law can actually touch many elements of what we do. Mm-hmm. So what's been your most satisfying challenge you've had to overcome?
I think it was making that switch.
Okay.
Making that switch from a sort of a slow pace, emotionally charged social services environment.
Right.
To a very commercial, fast paced, high stressed.
Yeah.
Sort of environment. And it was being able to do that transition and do it quick, do it fast.
Right.
So that was satisfying in itself, because I too had my doubts. You know, when I took my first job, it was at the Trinidad regulator. Mm-hmm. And they were now, you know, setting up themselves. So they had a lot to do, very few people.
Right. So
I too doubted myself, you know, whether I could do this switch. I mean, all I knew was, you know, social services stuff, domestic violence, adoption, you know, to make the transition to telecom, where it's so technical, where in your mind is sort of male dominated kind of field.
Yeah.
To be able to make that transition and do it well, that was a, you know, satisfying thing for me.
So how did you overcome those doubts? Because I know we as women, as you said, you're moving into a different field. And when we want to transition or pivot into something, we feel we have to know everything before we actually make that move. And having worked in telecoms myself, I know there's a lot. You never stop learning. So how did you overcome that particular fear of moving from social services into this new field?
Well, first of all, it was recognizing that I had to do it.
Okay.
I need the job. I want the job. I had to do it.
Right.
But what helped, though, was when you got there.
Yeah.
And you actually, you know, you're sitting alongside and you're working with the so-called experts.
Right.
And then you realize, but hang on, I think I probably know more than you here. You know, I might be a little sharper than you here.
Yeah.
So that gave you some confidence.
Okay.
You know, that the self-professed experts, that you were actually able not only to keep up with them, but to show them a thing.
Yeah. And as you would have said, it's a predominantly male environment you would have worked in. So you coming along as little miss, you know, a little bit sharper, How did that go over with the people you're working with?
Actually, I didn't think it, you know, it wasn't a problem.
Right.
I think they were relieved. They were relieved that I was able to keep up.
Right, right.
And not only keep up, but to excel.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, let's face it, sometimes we can't help but prejudge people.
Right, yeah.
You look at somebody.
It's true.
I look at this chick coming this way, and I have an impression.
Yeah, yeah.
And I am sure that they had an impression of me.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they did.
Yeah.
I suppose back then I would have looked like a school mom.
Right.
So you see this person coming, and it's like, where the school mom going, right? And I think they were relieved to figure out that, you know, that I could actually do this thing.
Right.
It wasn't a problem for me. I didn't have to try too hard to convince
people. Excellent. Excellent.
That I was worth it.
Excellent. So has there been a time when you've confronted a challenge and things haven't gone as well, gone horribly wrong? And how do you cope with those situations and regain your confidence?
Oh, God. Well, you know, I have a big story behind that.
Okay.
And it was a story that I actually told about 8 years ago. I was asked to deliver the feature address at the graduation of my alma mater.
Okay.
And it was, you know, okay, so they asked me to do this thing. And I was like, well, what can I possibly tell these girls? I went to a convent.
Yeah.
What can I possibly tell these girls? And I started the thing. I remember the, it was something sowing the seeds of faith or something like that was the theme. And all that could come into my mind were all these cliched things that you tell teenagers to have faith, to do their best. And something just wasn't sitting right. Yeah. Something I didn't have the... Because to me, like when you speak into people, I wouldn't do it if I can't speak from the heart.
Yes.
If I can't speak from down.
Be authentic.
If I don't believe what I'm telling
you,
it don't make sense.
Yeah.
So the cliched watery speech that I came up with at first, my spirit wasn't telling me to deliver that.
Right.
Instead, what kept coming up was a personal experience that I had in 2004. Right.
Okay.
And it was always that people keep telling me, you need to sell this to Lifetime. You need to sell this to Lifetime.
Now I'm intrigued.
Yeah. These things don't happen to people like average Janes.
Yeah.
And these things don't happen to people in the Caribbean. You need to sell this to Lifetime. So the biggest challenge that I've overcome in my life is actually a personal situation.
Okay.
In 2004, I had met this guy in Barbados. I was just leaving law school. I had actually met him in 2000.
Right.
Now, when I tell you dream guy,
right?
I mean, this man was a 6'4" drink of water. Lovely black man. He was working on Wall Street and he looked every bit of it.
Right.
You know,
Rude,
sophisticated. Really, really nice guy in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
He lived in New York. I continue to live in Trinidad.
Right.
And he would do the back and forth. So like every month he was in Trinidad.
Right.
You know, when I got the chance, I would go over to New York. He my family knew him, my friends knew him.
Right.
We were making plans, right?
Yeah.
So at one time, I mean, a day didn't pass where we weren't in touch with each other.
Yeah.
And then I realized that he left Trinidad one time. He went back to New York. And one day, 2 days, 3 days passed. Didn't hear from him. And if I call, week passed, nothing. Then I started to get worried.
Yeah.
The long and short of it is that he was detained. Apparently the business that he was running, because he left his job at the bank on Wall Street and he started a own thing with, you know, some other guys.
Yes. Similar. Yes.
And apparently it was a pyramid scheme they were running.
Wow.
So he was arrested for grand theft some long time. Anyway, that was one side of the story.
Yeah.
The side was that there was someone close to him who really didn't wish us well.
Right.
And that person, now he was also very fond of taking pictures of, you know, people take pictures of anything and everything, and everywhere they go, a camera in their hand, and they snap, snap, snap.
Yeah.
He was one of those.
Right.
You know? And he probably, and he would have taken pictures of me, of course.
Yeah.
Some of them probably with not so much clothes on.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This person got a hold of his pictures.
Right.
Hacked into my account.
Wow.
And broadcast these pictures to all my email contacts. Everybody. So imagine your email, you know, your email, your list of email contacts is vast.
Yes. Yes.
Not only your friends, you know, your acquaintances, people you would have met one time.
Yes.
Exchange an email address. And there it was. I mean, it was about 4 pictures.
Right.
Woo! Circulated to everybody.
Wow.
Everybody. You know, and the note that went with the pictures was that, you know, Corinne is a stripper.
Jesus.
And this is what she does. So you can imagine, I was devastated. I mean, I don't know how to begin to express what I felt at that time.
Yeah.
Because it was the whole thing about him being detained, and then it was this other thing at the side with my nether regions being spread all over the world.
Yes, yes, yes.
So it, you know, it was a feeling of helplessness, because what could you do?
Yeah.
The pictures are out.
Yes.
They're out.
Yes.
But you can't pull them back. You can't erase them.
Yeah.
You know, they were out. The most that I could have done was to reach out to who I could reach out to and just explain the situation. Someone hacked into my email, someone this, that, the other.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so sorry if, you know, you would have been offended by this, but it was out of my
control. Right.
You know, those who were your friends would reach out to you and tell you, hey, I'm going to delete this, you know, I'm going to block the person or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there were those who were not your friends who probably would have judged you for it anyways.
Yeah.
So there's probably a pool of people out there who's probably well judged me for that. You know, because people do say things like, well, you had no right to have somebody take pictures of you in you know, in this state.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so there probably are people out there who's still judging me for it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it was a slow process. It was a slow, painful process to come out of.
Yeah.
Lucky thing, my parents were, you know, because my parents were the only people who I had at that time.
Right.
It was, you know, it had gotten to the stage where you trusted no one.
Yeah, yeah.
No one.
Yeah.
You trusted absolutely no one. And my parents were the only people who I could trust.
Right.
You know, and they, you know, I remember I left my job and, you know, they had me at home.
Wow.
And it was, they said, you know what, it was okay. If you don't want to go outside, don't go outside. You don't want to go to work, don't go to work.
Yeah,
do what you need to do until you catch yourself. So that's what I did.
Wow.
That's what I did. You know, I have no, and the thing is, though, I have no lesson coming out of that.
That's what I was going to ask the question.
I have no lesson. If somebody said, what would you have done differently to prevent it? Nothing. Because, you know, one of the things that helped me through this was my recognition that I did nothing wrong.
Yes. Yeah.
I did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I trusted someone.
Yeah.
I trusted someone.
Yeah.
And as human beings, we have to trust someone.
Yeah.
Have to trust someone. I trusted someone and I love someone enough. And this was just one of the fallouts. I mean, there are evil people in this world.
Very much.
Sometimes you can't. So, and you can't stop that.
Right.
You can't control that.
Right.
You know, but I, you know, I guess with time and with, you know, when you're surrounded by people who love you, who support you, eventually you shake it off.
So what I'm hearing there is obviously it's an unfortunate, very unfortunate situation, but for you it's the true people, the authentic people who are around you, who will support you, who really know who you are.
That's it. And you know, sometimes they don't have to do anything.
No,
just the fact that you know that they're there.
Yes.
And they don't judge you for it.
Yes.
They don't judge you for it. And they would allow you to do what you need to do to get where you need to be.
But you obviously surpassed that, you know, because obviously I know you, I know your work, and I've seen you operate, and I think you're formidable. You know, so what is, and you now have a very successful career. So what has been your biggest career triumph after that?
My career triumph after that, possibly being able to survive in the job that I know. That is a triumph in itself. Being able to survive.
Yeah.
And not only survive, but I think to continue to excel.
Yes.
To be better at what I do. I think with every day that passes, I get better.
Yeah.
I get better with every day that passes. And, you know, as I tell people, this is the kind of job where 2-3 days might pass and you think, okay, I got this. I got this going on. And then something or somebody pulls the rug from up, you know, from under you. And you're struggling again. Oh, God, Jesus, help me. What is going on? What is going on here? Pandemonium.
Yeah.
You know, and that happens often.
Right.
It happens often in this job and career.
Yeah.
So it's being able to survive that, I think, in itself is a triumph.
So how do you do that? Because as you said, it's, you know, it's a real roller coaster, and knowing the environment you work in well, as you said, you know, you barely have time to catch your breath before there's maybe another crisis, you know, and on a normal day, just one of those crises could be a stress for everyday people, but you deal with it constantly. So how do you balance that and still maintain sane as you are now?
Yeah, it's being able to put aside the noise, I think.
Okay.
You have to be able to figure out what is noise.
Yeah.
What matters.
Right.
And being able to park the noise aside. Let me push you and push that on one side and deal with the core issue here.
Right.
A lot of times you have to do that because the noise will drive you crazy. The noise will drive you. So you have to be able to learn to park the noise.
Right.
Sometimes, I mean, with the personalities involved, sometimes parking the noise is a task in itself.
Right.
But you have to do it. You have to be able to, okay, let me wade through. Let me push all, you know, the clutter aside.
Yeah.
This.
Right.
So that has been able to help.
Okay. So you focus on prioritizing, you know, what brings you the best reward or what will give you the best reward for your time going forward.
So
many of us are, and we're going to move on. So many of us are known for self-sabotaging and undermining our own abilities. How do you navigate confidence issues? Though you don't come across as somebody who does have confidence issues. And get out of this vicious circle.
I don't know. This sounds like you're asking me about dumbing down sometimes.
No, not well, you know, actually, you know, but some women do. Some women make themselves play small, you know, or just, you know, tuck into the background because I don't want to step out for whatever reason. I certainly know, I don't think either of us are very good at playing small, right?
But sometimes you have to.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to dumb down. Yeah. Sometimes you have to do that and meet people on their own level.
Yeah.
You know, and when you get to their own level and you deal with them, but you have to recognize that that's what you're doing.
Right.
There must be a conscious recognition on your part that, okay, I'm dumbing down here because.
Yeah.
You know, but when you've dumbed down to the point where, and like you self-sabotage yourself to the point where you actually believe that you're as dumb as you're pretending to be,
it
becomes a problem.
Yeah. So really,
at your own self.
So really, it's about navigating the relationships you're working with, and just reading the people. Again, as you said, you work in a male-dominated, you work in a male-dominated industry, and I suppose when you have to, there's I suppose certain expectations from a male perspective, I suppose, where you have to be quite strategic in how you manage the relationships.
Yeah.
Because whereas they may not be as sharp as you, they hold a lot more power.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you have to let them think that they are sharper than you.
Right, right.
You know, you're okay, you're smart.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah. So share with us a success quote or mantra that you use and why it's meaningful to you.
It would be more like survival quotes or mantra. One thing I say often is how it hang, it swing, yes?
Okay.
Whatever happened, however anybody did, that's how it is. I can't help you with that. I can't deal with that. How it hang, it swing.
Right.
Another thing that has helped pretty often, and it is cliched, but it is very powerful, and it is the truth, is this too shall pass.
Right, right.
That is very cliched, but it means so much, at least to me.
Yes, yes.
You know, whatever it is you're going through, it will pass. It really would pass. It can't stay forever.
Yeah.
It would pass. It would pass.
Excellent.
So that those two things that, you know, I often say at the back of my head, always coming across, you know, I might mumble it to myself in a given situation.
So do you have any practical tips for any women listening out there on building confidence and remaining assertive?
I saw in your notes about faking it. Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, it is a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
You know, I remember once somebody telling me, you know, you have to fake it till you make it.
Yes.
Faking it does help.
Right.
You know, sometimes you might be as low as a razor, but you have to come across as being as badass as they come. Never let, you know, one thing my mother always tells me is never let people know when things are bad.
Right.
You know, never let people know when, you know, it comes like, you know, a wild animal. When they smell blood, they will come after you.
So don't show weakness.
Because people
take advantage.
I think so. But at the same time, too, balancing that, you have to also know when to ask for help.
Yes. Yeah.
You have to know when to ask for help. I mean, because that in itself is a sign of strength.
Right.
It's recognizing where your weakness is, recognizing where somebody can help you.
Yeah.
Asking for it.
Yes.
So you have to be wise about it. It's not everybody you ask for help from.
Yeah. So you play to your own strengths. And get support to help you with your weaknesses.
Yeah. You have to ask for help. You can't possibly do it all on your own.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, you have to have a sense of, you have to be discerning about how you go about it. You don't have every and anybody for help.
Right.
To be able to pick wisely, this person can help me because.
Right. So be strategic.
Yeah.
Be strategic. So what advice would you give to your teenage self now, looking back?
Wear more clothes. No, as a teenager, I was...
Yeah.
No, I was an athlete.
Yes.
I had a great pair of legs.
Yeah.
You know, I had a good body and I showed it off.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe I could have worn a little more clothes in my teenage but no, as a teenager, I probably wouldn't have done. I mean, putting joke and fun aside, I probably wouldn't have done anything differently.
Right.
I mean, I used to scowl back then when my father had me on the heavy manners.
Now
I can so see the value of it.
Yes.
And again, it's so cliched and I sound like them. but I can still see the value of everything that I thought he was an old fart back then.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who always growling and mumbling and never happy about, he was that kind of fella. Always have something to mumble under his breath, something. But now I realize the things he was mumbling about.
Right.
And growling about. One of the things he used to always say is that you have to be prepared.
Mm.
Think about what you're going to do here today.
Like
on my race days.
Yes.
You know, and he and my mother did everything for me as a teenager. And I sort of felt that all I had to do was show up.
Yeah.
But no, not really. You know, he would tell me, think about what you're going to do here today.
Yeah.
Think about what you want to achieve. And you have to put things in place to get there.
Yeah.
You know, you want to get to point B, you have to have a plan to move from point A to B.
Yeah.
Think about what you're going to do, Corinne.
Yeah.
He's always telling me that, and I just thought that, oh, God.
So it's the old adage, prepare to plan or plan to fail.
Yeah.
So we're coming down to the last few questions now. What would you say are the three things you've learned about yourself during your career?
I don't suffer fools well.
Yeah.
That would be one.
Yeah.
Another thing I would say, I perform best under pressure.
Right.
Just when you think that you know, you have no more to give and you can't, you really do have so much. You just need to pull it out.
Yeah.
You just need to pull it out, dig deep and pull it out.
Yeah.
And then afterward you say, but I really did that?
Yeah.
No, man, and with all of this, you know, with all of this pressure and with all of this, all of these things in place.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, I should have said no, and that would make me not achieve. And with all of these things going against me, I did this.
Right.
So, you know, it's a good feeling, to be able to perform in an environment like that.
So how do you dig deep? How do you dig deep?
Suppose it's a recognition. If I don't, what will happen?
Right.
Can I deal with the consequence?
Yeah.
It's that recognition. And you know what? I would rather dig deep than have to deal with that.
Right.
And you know, it's about pushing yourself beyond that point.
Yeah.
You know, the point that you had, that you saw for yourself.
Yes.
Then you have to move past that. You have to move past that point.
Yeah.
And you know, tell yourself, I can't, if I don't do this, then this will happen, and I can't deal with this.
Yeah. And the third thing you've learned?
Oh, I wonder if I have it. Yeah, Gail, I took notes just to make sure that I didn't miss it. Oh, those were the small stuff.
That
I have learned. Don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
And it's about recognizing what are the small stuff in the first place.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and what I think, like on a personal level, what has taught me that lesson is living with somebody.
Right.
I have always been, for a long while, I've lived on my own.
Yes.
Things my way.
Yes.
You know, everything is laid out my way.
Yes.
My space is
my
way.
Space, yes.
And having to share that with someone
is
such a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, and at the beginning, you fuss about this, you know, but you left this here and this is here and this is not where it should be. And, you know, and then the big stuff started to happen.
Right.
And you realize that the things that you were fussing about at the beginning are really small.
Yeah.
And you know, and you're wasting all your energy, your time on this small stuff. And you have none left to deal with the things that matter.
Yeah, it's very true. I see that in myself sometimes. I must admit, I was like you, I was on my own for a long time, and you know, you have your routine, your set ways, and you expect the person to conform to you to you. But actually it's two of you now, and he's also expecting you to conform to his way, so you just have to work your way through it and find what works for both of you.
Yeah.
So, almost lastly, what's your definition of success, Corinne?
Or just being happy, peace of mind.
Excellent.
Peace of mind is golden.
Yeah.
You know, I can't measure success by what car I drive or nonsense.
Yeah.
Because I've been there already. I've been, you know, in a space where I had the best of everything and I wasn't happy.
Right, right.
And, you know, I gave that up easily.
Yeah, just for happiness.
Yeah. It's peace of mind.
Peace of mind.
Knowing that, you know, I'm here with a glass of wine here right now. And Rome could burn outside and I don't care. I have no cocoa in the sun, as we say in the country. I have nothing to study. Nothing. I can go and sleep with an easy mind.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, excellent. So that to me is the definition of success.
And do you think it's something you've learned as you've matured?
Yeah. When I was younger, I mean, the definition of success for me was all the material things.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, to know that you've made it.
I
have this and I live here and I drive this and I rub shoulders with this body.
Yes, yes.
And that to me was the definition of success. And I went after it, I got it, and there was no sense of fulfillment from that.
Right.
None whatsoever. So, maturity.
Fantastic. And lastly, what does it mean to you to be your own hero?
And the first thing that came to mind was, you know, you ever seen the movie Coffee with Pam Grier?
Yes.
She is my hero. Let me tell you. Coffee is my hero. Such a fantastic character.
Yeah.
You know, but really, being your own hero is about, at least for me.
Yes.
You know, you look yourself in the mirror and you say, damn girl, you got this. You know, it starts with that. A good day for me is if I start off looking myself in the mirror and saying,
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and another thing too is being able to dig yourself out of sticky situations.
Right.
And coming out unscathed. Which I've had to do many times. Dig yourself out of a pit.
Yeah.
That is, you know, to me, it makes you feel good about yourself. You are your own hero.
Excellent.
So those two things are things, you know, that things that are relevant to me.
Yeah.
Things that mean a lot to me. Things that made me my own, you know, my own hero. Yeah. Or being able to, you know, to help people around you.
Right. Right.
People who need and are deserving of your help.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Being able to give somebody a leg up. Yeah. You know, I was having a conversation with somebody two nights ago and we're talking about, so where do you go from here career wise?
Yeah.
And this person was telling me, you know, I think I'm at a stage now where I want to be selfless. I don't know how you make a conscious decision to do that, but he said, I want to be selfless. I've spent my career chasing cash.
Yeah.
And I want to be selfless. And I told him, I said, well, I actually feel the same way too.
Yeah.
You know, but I have always felt that way.
Yes.
But I still need to chase cash, by the way. I'm not at a stage where I can give up chasing cash to be selfish. I think I can be.
Yes.
You know, whilst I continue to chase my cash.
Right.
You know, and my passion is animals and animals at risk.
Yeah.
If I can do something in that regard.
Okay.
If I can get involved at that level.
Right.
I would also make me my own hero.
Fabulous. Well, Corinne, that was my last question, and it has been a blast. I love talking to you, and I'm sure the listeners are going to love listening to your answers as well. So I'm sure our paths will meet again. So until next time.
Okay, Janice, take care.
You too.
Keep good.
So that was the formidable Corinne Phillip. And it just remains for me to say thank you all for listening. It's my pleasure to show up here every week and connect with like-minded women who want to live their life to its fullest and be empowered to take their career to the next level. Remember, you are the author of your own story. You control the narrative and you have the power to give your life story a happy ending, so own it. If you want help or support in achieving your career aspirations or your life dreams, contact me for a free consultation by visiting janicesutherland.com for more information on how I can help you transform your dreams into actions. And if you like what you've heard today, please share this podcast with all the other formidable women you know. Until next time.